get him out of bed.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and we have a very special guest with us. Do you know what a Montessori school is? Well, you will definitely know more at the end of the show.
And your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast. The experts tell us.
Thanks for listening to Because I Said So, and we have a special guest that we have a lot of questions for. Actually, Chris has a lot of questions for, definitely, because if you don't homeschool your son, maybe you'll send him to St. Andrew's Montessori School. We have Ursula Luce, who started the school just this past year in August. Welcome, Ursula.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that was my initial question, was I don't really know the difference. What would be the determining factors that make a Montessori school as opposed to a charter school? Or
Well, our school is a preschool, but it's a Montessori preschool, and it has what makes it different is there was a woman named Maria Montessori in Italy. She's one of the first doctors, and she developed first woman doctor and she observed children scientifically. She believed that within every child is the man or woman that they're going to be, and that we need to do whatever we can to have their experience build toward their maximum
potential
person.
Potential, right. So that's what she believed, and she watched children, and she worked with children who were in ghettos and the children who had mental deficiencies. And she put them in children's houses, which were prepared environments where the children learned to take care of themselves, and beautiful materials were developed, and they were sequential, and they all had primary aims, but then also underlying aims. And they found that these children that they thought could not be taught could be taught in this situation. And so there have been Montessori schools all over the world now for 100 years.
So,
in different cultures, and it's still
like knowing
successful.
Okay, so knowing, let me understand this. Knowing who the child is going to eventually grow up to be, like embrace the spirit, whether it's Henri or, you know, so you have to kind of just embrace who they are to know how to teach them.
They say follow the child.
So is it a more free spirit type of learning?
Well, they have a lot of freedom, but that's with limits and responsibility. I mean, they're free to manipulate the materials and use them in different ways and be creative with them. They're not free to throw them across the room.
Right.
And they know that because we teach them respect for the environment, respect for one another.
And what is the age group at your school?
Right now it's 2.5 to 6-year-olds. When they leave us, they would go on to a first grade class.
Okay.
So we have a half day for the youngest children, and then like the kindergarten age children would go full day.
Full day. And then that's so then the school system, let's say they would transfer into a first grade in the public school system, so they're recognizing that they already have their kindergarten year down.
Right.
Okay.
So what does it look like? What does a typical day look like at your school?
Well, now, this far along in the year, we say they're normalized, the children are. They typically come in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they choose their own work. It's my responsibility to prepare the environment, and so I have a lot of different things out. I do a lot of observing and writing down what they choose, but they choose their own work. They get a rug to define their workspace if they're going to work on the floor, or they take it to a table, put it on a mat. They choose their own work. They decide when they're hungry and go to the snack table, pour their own juice.
Wow.
Clean up after themselves, you know.
Okay.
Little table brush if there's crumbs or a sponge.
How do you measure the outcomes?
Well, all of the materials are like sequential. They get a little bit harder, a little bit harder. So when they master one thing, then you introduce something else, and it's divided into small parts. I guess I should say that the curriculum is divided into sensorial materials, which is self-explanatory, practical life, math, language, and the cultural subjects, which encompass geography and science. And
does it take a lot of time to get them to work sequentially on? I mean, do they come in and just sit down like the very first day of school and think, okay, ready, I'm ready to do this.
What do I do now?
How long does it take to get them?
They don't start that way. But about 6 weeks in, because in October we say, please come and visit and see, because now also there's all these things on the shelves they don't know how to use when they walk in on August 27th. So that we come in and we have a line like a lot of preschools that we sit on when we have if I'm reading a story or presenting a lesson to the whole class. I mean, I prefer presenting it to one or two children because I think that gives better attention. But I'm at the beginning of the year in particular, there's a lot of, you know, I'll try to limit it because of the age of the children to 10 to 15 minutes where we're saying, this is how we do this, and I just demonstrate it.
So you had said, I'm sorry, that the age was 2.5 to 6 years. So you're talking to them sometimes, all of them at the same time. Because you have, how many children do you have in the school?
Right now we have 8. We hope to build to 20.
Okay. So you're not looking to grow beyond that?
Not at this point. We'll have to see.
So I just look back and I say, you know, my boys pretty much started learning how to read in the kindergarten. Are they able to, you know, then when they go into the first grade, are they readers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know that was a critical year.
It would be an exception to not have a non-reader because we start with sandpaper letters that they trace with their fingers. I have little objects they put out. We divide them into 5 sounds. Like we start with M, T, B, S, and A. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little apple you put at because we're teaching them phonics. We teach them phonetically to read first.
So there is some structure to the
lessons. There's a lot of structure.
Okay.
But I'm not going to make you do that. Here, do the red basket. You're going to want to do that and go choose that for yourself.
Well, what if you have a kid who wants to put a puzzle together the whole day?
Then we value their choice because we believe that children intrinsically know what they need to work on to perfect.
So if somebody chooses all math-related activities, then that's okay?
Yes, because they won't do that for all year. They might do it for a week or two.
But then they'll switch it up.
Right.
They'll see
other children using things. And we teach them, say, may I join you? If you're working on something and I want to do that too, may I join you? Now you can say no. And then I have to go do something else. But probably you're going to say, sure. Yeah. And then I'll sit down and work with you.
Now, are the kids of different ages doing that?
Yes.
If a 2-year-old walks over to
a six-year-old
and says,
give me that.
Hey, can I try that?
Sure. Absolutely. And one of the things is that our older children are teachers.
That's
because
the thing.
We
I was
all
gonna
know.
Say, that's great.
Yeah. I know, and their older children are teachers, and they can help, and you really know something once you teach it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how a lot of us learn.
I know, especially probably with little girls more than maybe even little boys. I don't know, and this is an assumption. They want to be teachers. They want, you know, my neighbor is a little bit older than my son, and they play so well together, and it's because she can be the leader and the teacher and the motherly figure in his world when they're playing.
And I do think, so if we're talking about a 5 or 6-year-old, and yes, they do have that instinct where they want to help, how do you ensure that they're not only helping those younger ones, but that they're also receiving the skill set that they need? What do you do to...
Oh, well, I'll invite a child for a lesson. When I've seen that they have mastered something, I'll say, you know, Emily, would you like to come over and see this? And they are very excited because we have things on the shelves that they can't use. Mm-hmm. Because they have to show mastery in something that comes before it.
So they feel privileged to be able to...
Yes, like I'm the first one to get to do this.
Yeah.
100 board or whatever it is.
Very good. Well, we're going to come back with you, Ursula, and talk to you a little more about the Montessori way, because I've learned a lot here. I didn't realize that that's what it all came down to. And then we can talk a little bit more about, you know, where the school is and, you know, the people... how to find out more information if someone is interested.
Great.
So we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Robin. Join me every Saturday night at 8 p.m. for Saturday Nights with Robin, where I'll play music from different genres like folk, blues, deep tracks, new music, and more. So come hang out with me, Robin, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. only on 90.7 WSDL.
You're listening to Because I Said So, and I've learned so much about Montessori schools. We have our guest Ursula Luce from St. Andrew's Montessori School in near Princess Anne. And Chris got some questions all lined up because, like you said, if maybe you don't homeschool your son, maybe he can go to this school.
Well, the dad in me comes out, and I wonder if a kid is misbehaving, if they break one of the toys, you know, what happens then?
Discipline. Is there discipline?
Yeah, I guess that's the question.
They're typically redirected.
How does that work? I mean, does it work?
Yes, it works. Huh. I think it works great.
Rather than what, Chris? I mean, what are the options?
Well, you know, you're thinking
putting them in timeout.
Yeah. I guess that's what I would be thinking of. Like, if you're in a regular school, you go to timeout, or who knows what you do.
It's interesting because I just learned about a school today, a private school here, who you have to give permission to have your child paddled.
But they do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe in this day and age that happens.
Like, they have 10 something or other, 10 chances, and then once they reach that number 10,
they can be paddled.
The parents have to pretty much give permission to.
So that's violence that we're teaching them.
Well, that's a whole other show.
You have to remember the age group that we're talking about. I mean, 2.5 to 6 years old. You know, you typically do a lot of the redirecting.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'd
that
be
happens
spending a lot of time paddling.
Yeah. Yeah, as opposed to a fist fight between two kids in third grade that breaks out.
Yeah. I like the free spirit way of thinking, though. I mean, you know.
By the same token, though, I have heard some criticism about Montessori schools for this concept because it's just kids running around without structure, no discipline, you know, mayhem. So,
well, that's just somebody who's not been to one of the schools
because
it's not happening.
Right.
Well, there is a lot of structure.
And I think there's schools out there that can call themselves Montessori schools. We were talking about this before, but
necessarily chartered as or whatever.
Or maybe the teachers aren't trained, or maybe they don't buy the materials that they need.
Right. What does it take to be an official, accredited, chartered Montessori school? Do you have to go through?
Well, you have to hire a trained teacher who's certified in Montessori, and to be certified in Montessori, you have to have an undergrad in education.
Okay.
And you have to buy the materials and the whatever. If you're going to be AMS or AMI, they'll come and visit and see your environment.
I don't know AMS, AMI.
The American Montessori Society.
Okay. Okay.
Which is who we are affiliated with.
Okay.
And where my certification's from.
Okay. So there's some certifications and an official umbrella organization that oversees that.
Right.
Okay.
And you go for training. I did my training in 2 summers and then practical year.
Do kids get report cards?
They do. They get progress reports and the things that we're looking for.
It's not like A in math, B in reading.
No, we don't do numbers.
Okay.
We were like, if something has been introduced or if they're working on it or if it's been mastered.
Mm-hmm. The young kids.
More of an evaluation.
NP needs improvement.
Right.
O for outstanding.
And like, numbers. I think they do numbers in public school, don't they?
Up to a certain grade. Those things. I'm like, what does NP mean?
Right.
And then you look at the little graph and you're like, oh, needs improvement.
Now, why, if you had said earlier that this is the only Montessori school for, I guess, a radius of 50 miles or at least 50 miles?
Right, that's what I've heard.
How come located here in a fairly remote location versus maybe a Salisbury or what was the...
Well, we have the most beautiful campus. It's wooded and the kids can go in the woods. And
do your kids come from all over? Do they come from Salisbury?
We have a student from Salisbury, Deal Island, Crisfield, and Princess Anne, Eden.
Okay.
And so, I mean, and the Whitehaven Ferry makes it very accessible to Salisbury.
When it's running. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true.
So are you grouped then under a private, like, if we're
grouping
schools?
We are a private
school. You're a private school. Okay.
We're a nonprofit.
For Just Do It, Kathy. We should talk about
Yes, we should.
How can people learn more about your school?
Well, you can come by for a tour and see the kids in action. We have the glass in the window so you can observe them without them seeing you, and then come in, and we really welcome visitors. We had a new visitor last week. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot about people.
What kind of feedback are you getting from the parents? Like, I guess the parents who, this is very new to them,
too. Probably their first Montessori experience.
What kind of feedback are you getting from them?
A lot of positive feedback. I'm hearing from Father David, who's on the board and is at the church, and he just said the families can't say enough good things. So
that's good.
That was just recently.
It's very good.
But you're not religious affiliated, is that correct?
The church oversees us, but we don't teach religion.
Okay.
Or we do. We teach all religions. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of try to do a little bit of that. Because here's a big difference between a typical preschool or and Montessori is you start, okay, here's your neighborhood. Here's your you know, here's your post office. But we start with, here's the universe, and we go the other way. So that is a big difference, you know. They know about planets. They know that the Earth spins, and they do their birthday walk. They carry the Earth around a candle to represent every year that they have been on the Earth. So they're walking around the sun, then they blow out the candle, and they'll talk to me. One of the children was talking to me about that. It's like, the Earth is still spinning. That's why we have day and night, you know. And I have a globe and a flashlight that they use.
Right.
So that they can physically, you know.
Because that's a concept, I think, in the beginning that can become very confusing to children.
Right. Right.
But then when they get it,
they
clicks.
Know the names of all the continents, and they know, you know, and they cut out Plato islands and lakes, so they have a great time.
I mean, you're exposing them to concepts that you're giving them the big picture, that
exactly.
they're going to get all of the details of that later, but you're exposing them to the big picture items.
Yeah. And we still have the fire department come for, you know, you know, fire prevention week and teach them to drop. I mean, we're not going to, you know, not go into the community. I'm just saying that's how we present it.
Right. Stop, drop, and roll.
So, yes, we did that. You know, we still go to the pumpkin patch.
Yeah.
I have a question about transitions. So last show we were talking about homeschooling and what do you do when you go from homeschooling to regular school. For Montessori school, if you're in Montessori school and then you go to a regular elementary school, do the children have a hard time adjusting to, you know, I had a day where I could do what I want and now I have to follow these kind of specific days. Is that hard for kids?
It has not been my experience that it's difficult. Most children they can just do well wherever they go. If they go to a, you know, parochial school or a public school, they are used to choosing their own work. So they're self-starters and they're very independent, but they're also adaptable. I mean, they've had lessons from, you know, they've had to focus on a teacher. Mm-hmm. They haven't all had to maybe, you know, wait in line for the cafeteria or something like that, but, you know.
Right. But I understand.
They're growing into
that.
The
adaptability because, you know, all of a sudden they go off to, the, you know, if they're in regular public school and they go to the shelf to pull down a game, the teacher's going to say, no, it's not time to do that. And they'll probably put it back and, you know, after a couple times, learn their lesson that they can't do that. Yeah,
and
I would think.
You started off talking about the schedule of the day. It's 9
o'clock. I'm sorry we didn't get back to that.
But that's okay, but how long? I know you have a half-day program, but you have a full-day program as well?
Right now we don't have any children the age to be eligible because we have to nap according to the state of Maryland. So. Because of their age, so we nap in the afternoon. But the morning, typically from 9 to 10:30, they're choosing their own work. And that would be dependent because it rained all week. So this week they worked 2 hours, and they don't mind that, you know.
Because they can't go outside.
Right. Yeah. Right, you know. Then we'll do, you know, story time. And
do they have the opportunity during that time where they're choosing their work? I'm going to go outside and take a hike.
No.
not a two-year-old by
Because we don't
himself.
Have a, you know, we don't have an adult to go with them.
Okay.
We do have a garden that the kids plant in, so that's their, that's but neat. With supervision, of course.
Yeah, it's not like these kids are just wandering off on their own.
No, they're in the building. I mean, we have yoga cards that they have that they'll go over and take the yoga cards and do yoga poses.
Ooh, we can learn something. I've never done yoga.
Tuition rate?
It's $5,500 a year.
Okay.
So it's $550 a month.
Okay.
But that's for full day. That's from 9 to 3. And then we have before and after care available. And if you're just, you know, if you're 2.5 and you're coming from 9 to 11:30. Yep.
Is there a drop dead date when you have to apply by to be in the next semester or next year?
Well, we're asking our current students to sign a letter of intent by the end of February to reserve their spaces. But since we're not at a space, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
We
have rolling enrollments. We just signed somebody else up this week.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You'll still take them.
Right, exactly. As long as we have space.
Right.
We want 32 kids in this space. I'm thinking 20 kids would work great. And it's best if they're, like, divided by age. Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally, you have the same number of girls as you have boys. You have the same number of 3-year-olds as you have 4-year-olds.
Yeah. Ideally. Yeah. Well, we thank you, Ursula, for joining us. And you've kind of opened our eyes to what the Montessori School is all about. And if you want more information, folks, is there...
Can you call 410-621-5483?
Okay.
We have a website as well, www.standrewsmontessori.org.
Excellent.
Give us a call and come by and see the kids in action, because it is really neat to see.
I think you'd want to experience it to make a decision.
Right. Exactly. Right. You want to come in and see them at work.
Ursula, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll have that link on our website at becauseisaidsoradio.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Christopher Kimball from America's Test Kitchen Radio. Each week, we take you behind the scenes into the world of equipment ratings and taste tests. We get you up close and personal with the chefs, restaurant critics, and food celebrities in America. You'll also learn how to make the world's best New York-style pizza, perfect scrambled eggs. And of course, we take your calls to answer your questions each week on America's Test Kitchen Radio from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Saturday afternoons at 3 on WSDL.
It is time to wrap up the show with our last segment. And, you know, this is the fun part where we get to explain why we're such great parents and moms. We really are. Because guess what, guys? All these stories that we share of our Mother of the Month, there's other people out there with ones that can totally top us. So don't feel bad.
Well, and I think that we like to share our stories because it makes everybody else feel like they're better mothers.
Yeah, we want to make you feel better.
It goes back to the topic we talked about a few shows ago, you know, watching Honey Boo Boo. You feel like the mother of the year. You know, you feel like your family is obviously
we're doing this for you,
more
listeners.
Normal than whatever. So we're doing this for our listeners.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And you have something that you're not. You did something, Kathy, as a parent, and then had to take a step back and questioned the decision that you made.
Okay, so my daughter, who's 12, I could already see people writing letters to me now about it, but she sort of has liked this boy for a long time, probably a year and a half at least, and back and forth, you know, for whatever reason, he was always dating some other girl or whatever. It's just never worked out, and so for like a week and a half, they had been going out, which is a long time in middle school relationships. Anyway, week and a half they were going out. The last, so it's leading up to New Year's Eve. And so she has a little New Year's Eve party. So she invites, you know, about 10 of her friends over, boys and girls. And this little boy was one of them. And so, you know, it wasn't a great night. They were inside. The weather wasn't so great. They wanted to do a bonfire outside, but the weather wasn't so great. Anyway, they're inside. And at midnight, I find out after the fact, he kisses her. And
which many people.
It wasn't. She explained it was, you know, it was like a real quick kiss. It wasn't, right. You know. So anyway, and I, you know, okay. That's why I'm going to get letters on. I can just tell. Anyway,
no swap and spit.
So, my son was out at a different party. Actually, my son was out at a different party, and I had to go pick him up. So, I head off to go pick him up, and I had to drop off one of Annie's little friends too. And by the way, the party ended at like 12:15. Like parents were there, picked them up.
Okay,
you know,
it's
to pick
time to
up
go to
these
bed, guys.
Seriously, these middle schoolers, they were ready to take him home. So anyway, she gets a text from this boy. Probably at about 12:30, so right after he gets home, breaking up with her, and she's devastated.
What?
And yes, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I gotta tell you, because
I'm sure it hit her like a ton of bricks.
That boy's not gonna be welcome in my home anymore.
And she kissed him.
And so when I picked up my son, and his friends, and the story was retold to them, they were ready to. Let me tell you, they defended her honor. They were ready to go over and get this boy out of bed and, you know, shake some sense into him. So I kind of enjoyed the fact that they actually had his phone number and they actually prank called him a couple times. And I laughed about it. I thought it was funny because I was proud of the fact
baby.
that my son's friends stood up in her honor. But then as I'm retelling this story to a friend of mine, she looked at me and she goes, "You did what? What are you talking about?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, so it probably wasn't the most mature thing, but."
And but he hurt your baby.
So
that's
now
the
I'm thinking
line.
Perhaps I sent the wrong message to my son and his friends, although I want them to stick up for her and defend her. But maybe crank calling him at 2 o'clock in the morning was not the best way to do that.
If they had said, like, "You, let's go over and
beat him up," I would have stopped it.
Yeah.
Although
right.
We did happen to drive by his house and the horn may have been blown.
Right. Oh!
Because we had to drop off one of his friends, and we happened to drive by the kid's house, and you know I was driving by, and one of the boys leaned over, and the horn did go off at about 2 o'clock in the morning. So
it wasn't you that honked the horn.
I don't think so. But I did feel really bad for my daughter.
Let's go back, though.
And so we went back.
You said she was a mess, wasn't she?
She was a mess. And so some of his friends came back to the house, and the first thing they did was went over to her and gave her a big hug.
Aww.
And told her that she was fantastic and he was not worth it. And that was really great. That made me feel really great. So all in all, I thought it was a great story. But my friend pointed out that perhaps as a parent, I should have cautioned them on crank calling, you know, a 12-year-old boy who broke my daughter's heart. So there you go.
I have to say, I mean, okay, do we want to teach our kids that crank calling's okay? Probably not. But I think the bigger picture is that, because I know what I would be thinking in my house, I would be just celebrating the fact that my son stood up for his sister.
Yes.
So if your kids have the relationship like mine do, that is huge.
That is
and
huge.
I completely get why you got excited.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vindication.
I'm okay with it.
Vindication.
You know me. I mean, I just, you know, I think that unless the parent of the boy said, you know, who's calling you at 1 o'clock in the morning? What is going on? You know, that's where you
well,
get
what's
into
funny
a
is I am
trouble.
I am Facebook friends with the father, and I don't really know him at all, to be honest with you. I'm not quite sure how we became Facebook friends, but
what happens
I did,
if they get back together?
I did, which is invariably going to happen, but he's still not welcome at my house. But I thought about Facebooking the father and saying, do you have any idea what your son just did to my daughter? But then
don't
I decided to stay out of it because,
yeah,
you
don't
know,
go there.
It's really...
That's
but this is the lesson.
The trouble.
This is the lesson for your son and his friends and for your daughter and for hopefully everyone that's listening out there that it is not okay to break up with someone over a text.
Oh,
through
yes.
a text.
Well,
that's
some
not
of these,
okay.
Some of these relationships exist solely
I
in text.
Do.
Yeah,
I'm not okay with that either.
Well, the fact remains that he made sure that he was there with her when the ball dropped to kiss her and then broke up with her, though.
Well, and
or not.
Player.
You know, I spent time with my nephews. I have three nephews, 16, 14, and 11. We spent time with them over the holidays. And, you know, the 14-year-old who is very popular with the girls, and he had a girlfriend who he intentionally broke up with before Christmas so he didn't have to buy her a Christmas gift. And his mother, my sister, was extremely upset with him for that. But, I mean, come on, that is the rationale that especially at the middle school
age. And it's young love, guys.
It is young love.
It really is. Like you said, they could be back together in 2 days.
Well, let me tell you,
the most wonderful thing in the world.
We had a long conversation about it because, you know, it is hard to see your daughter's heart be broken. And you hope that she builds defenses and learns from these things. And, you know, so we have talked about it multiple times. I think now she's afraid to tell me anything.
She's like, you're going to...
But that's okay, because I just pump it out of her friends anyway. So.
I do think it's nice to have a sibling who's looking out for you. I was thinking about my own high school experience. I'm the youngest of four. My oldest brother was on the football team, and he was kind of, you know, he was the big guy around high school, and it was nice to know that...
At the end of the day, he had your back.
Yeah.
Which is
that's,
nice.
That's a good thing.
That is a good
well,
thing.
Well, and unfortunately, you don't know that until a situation happens where they have to defend you,
it's
so...
No, I think it's really cool.
I remember I went to school up in Canada when I was in like second and third grade, and we would walk to school, and there was some bullies that were, I don't even recall exactly, but somehow on the walk to and from school, I was afraid of these kids. And so my brother would walk with me. You know, he did it for like a week, and that was it. They never bothered me again.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to go to 13th grade?
Well, I didn't graduate from school there. I would have if I had stayed in school there.
Yay.
And they actually call it grade 13. Instead of second grade, they call it grade 2, grade 3, grade 4. So that's my Canadian knowledge, eh?
You're making me remember, though. My brother told me a story years later, now that we're adults, that this one boy used to come to the door and knock on the door and ask for me. And he always, the way he told it, he would get his nose so close to the screen, he would have like the dirt screen marks on his nose. And he'd lie and say, no, she's not here, because he didn't like him. So he never told me. I didn't know that this boy was coming to want to hang out, because Brian never let him in or never let him know that I was there or never let me know that he
was
there.
Is that an example of him having your back, or is that an example of him screwing you over? I'm not sure which.
No, I think that, you know, I think he was looking out for me, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Boys are trouble. I agree.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, but with young love, you're right. It's probably very hard to see... you know, your daughter's heartbroken. So all you boys out there listening, watch out.
Don't date my daughter. How about that?
You're listening to Because I Said So, and this is where you come for great advice. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.